I hear my Savior say, my strength.
Some golden day break.
us the same.
Great.
We're really thankful that Abby's fine. And the doctor had said it was second and third degree burns on her head and face, on her forehead, and it was downgraded to second degree burns. We went on Monday, the accident happened on Monday, and then on Wednesday, he had downgraded down to second degree burns. And so we really feel that the Lord was with Abby. It could have been a lot worse. She got burnt all the way back to, scorched, her ear got scorched all the way back to here. It could have inflamed her whole head. So we know that God was there with those angels protecting Abby.
Very good. Good start. Good start for a little girl.
On Friday night, I called Pastor Mark Melissa's daughter-in-law. I finally got her number. And if you didn't know, Pastor Mark had been on a head-on collision about three months ago. And for a while, we didn't hear anything. We heard, like, the Friday after that. Like, it happened on Wednesday. We heard that following Friday about it. And all we heard was that he was in a coma. He was bleeding from his brain stem. And that was basically it. And they were moving to Phoenix. And so since then, we haven't heard anything. And I was just given his grandmother's phone number. And so I decided to call her on Friday and see if anything had changed. And I'm so thankful. He can sit up now and he can talk. His talking is a little slow. Apparently, he broke his left femur bone, and he, in a quick counting, there were like 30 different places. he remembers, his grandma was saying how he all of a sudden decided he's gonna come up as soon as he gets out of the hospital, he's gonna come up and visit his friends from River Falls. And he had called, I guess, the day earlier to his grandmother's on Thursday night saying, "Yeah, well, I'm going to be all better by Sunday, and I'm going to go to church on Sunday." And so he's back to himself. He doesn't remember short term, like if somebody came to visit him in the hospital. And the next day, his grandmother came to visit, and he wanted to tell her about the visit before, and he couldn't remember who that person was. He can't walk right now. There's nothing wrong with his spine or back, I guess. But it's just a matter of the brain telling him he can actually walk. He has some brain damage, but they don't know how much. I'm just thankful that he remembers us and that he's doing well. It's going to be a long time, but I'm glad he's alive.
Amen. will you please?
Praise the Lord.
Standing for the reading of the word. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 55th Psalm, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest, though then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Father, we thank you that there is help in times of trouble. I pray tonight that you would give us insight into this passage, that we might be able to respond properly to the trials and troubles that we face. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The message tonight is going to be along the same lines of the message this morning. Just meditating on this chapter this week and saw there how we can respond to troubles, and I thought it would be appropriate because as I asked this morning, how many of you ever have troubles? And I think we all can agree that we have trouble sometimes. And like I said this morning, if you don't have any trouble right now, just hang on, trouble will come. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has troubles. David had his share of troubles, and he has his share of troubles just in this psalm. Because this psalm was written when David was fleeing from the rebellion of his son Absalom. Absalom had wanted to take the kingdom from his own father, and David was fleeing from that revolt. Troubles were abounding in his life in other areas as well. He had persecution troubles, if you look at verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. The enemy and the wicked were oppressing him. David was coming under persecution. And if you continue to read on down to about 7 there, you see the persecution in David's life. So he had persecution troubles. He also had personal troubles. Verses 12 and 13, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. Went on to say that they went to church together. They had company together. And so he was having personal trouble. He was having relationship troubles with those that were close to him. And then, as we mentioned, he was having kingly troubles. The throne, his kingdom, was not even a sure thing at this point because of the revolt of Absalom. Now, David came to recognize that his trouble, it's hard for us to understand, that his trouble came from God. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, I would not say that all trouble comes from God. We know the devil likes to cause trouble. And you know, we cause a few problems for ourselves along the way too. It's interesting here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, what David had to say. The king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. You see, one man was going around hounding David. Wherever David went, he would curse David. Anybody ever had anybody like that? I hope not. That'd be a miserable thing, right? Wherever you go, somebody's going behind you, cursing you. But David had that happening to him. He says, let him curse, because the Lord had said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. This is at the same time that Absalom is revolting against him and trying to take the kingdom. Can you imagine this? From his own father. His son is trying to take his kingdom from his own father. At the same time, somebody's going around cursing him, cursing David. I would have think that I would have taken about as much as I could take, wouldn't you? I'd have said to my armed guards and my bodyguards or whoever they were that the king carries around, get that guy for me. I don't need this at this point in my life. But David said, let him curse, because God told him to curse David. He says, how much more now may this Benjamite do it? And if my own son is revolting against me, how much more should a stranger be doing this? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord had bidden him. It may be, verse 12, that the Lord will look on mine affliction. God's going to see my trouble. God's going to see this guy following me around and cursing me, and requite me good for his cursing this day. David said, let him curse, let him go ahead, because God is going to turn this whole thing around, and God's going to give me a blessing because of it. It's remarkable how David responded to this trouble. Remarkable how he responded to this trouble in his life. You know, some people think that the trouble that they have is the fault of some individual in their life. And on the surface, it may look that way, but the issue goes beyond any human relationship. Trouble is not just an issue between you and somebody else. Trouble is an issue between you and God, sometimes. Because sometimes God instigates trouble. God says, go curse David. Sometimes God is the instigator of this. And the temptation then is to try to run from our problems, to run from our troubles. And that's what David is saying in verses 6 through 8 there of Psalm 55. I wish I could run from these troubles. If I had wings, I would fly away. But he had no wings, and he couldn't get away, and he had to listen and respond to those troubles. Our troubles will follow us wherever we run or fly. I found that out in my life. I've tried to run from trouble. You know what? Trouble followed me. I can never get away from it until I learn to deal with it. And you know, when trouble comes and you deal with it, the end result is there is going to be a great blessing. Blessing will come out of the trouble. If God is the one that's behind it, not ourselves, you know, and we could get ourselves into trouble, but if God's behind it, the end result will be more blessing than we could have imagined. So tonight I want to talk with you about how to respond to troubles. A very simple message with three responses. Three responses. The first response is the upward response. How do you respond to troubles? You respond by looking upward. Make prayer a priority. Look at Psalm 55 there, and notice how many times David talks about prayer. Verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Verse 2, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David made prayer a priority, and he also knew that God would hear him when he cried out with his trouble. Now let me ask you, where do you go for help? Where do you go for help? We should go to the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. We learned Wednesday night that if we go to our authority and complain, we are murmuring. And if we go to other Christians and complain, we're guilty of sowing discord. And if we keep it within ourselves, our trouble and our complaint, then all we do is worry and fret. So there really is only one response. That is, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Cry out to him. He's the one that will answer. He's the one that will deliver. The only thing we can do is take it to the Lord. So where do you go for help? I hope you go to the Lord. I hope you make prayer a priority. But notice also how David prayed. How he prayed. Two things here. First of all, he prayed frequently. He prayed three regular times. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Do you have regular prayer times? And also, he prayed frequently. He cried aloud. Are your prayers frequent? Are they fervent? That's a, could be another F there. Frequently, oh, that is this. Frequently and fervently he prayed. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Right. So the first response is upward, make prayer a priority. The second response is backward. Backward response. Draw on God's faithfulness in the past. Notice verses 18 and 19 here. Notice the past tense. He hath delivered. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Also verse 19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. And then there's that word Selah. You know what the word Selah means? It means pause and think about it. Ponder it. Meditate on that. So he's saying, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about his past deliverances. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. In fact, that little phrase, he that abideth of old, is an old Hebrew idiom that means God doesn't change. That's what it means. He that abideth of old, he that doesn't change. How many of you know that God is still on the throne? What God has done in the past, he can do it again. And what God has done for others, he can do for who? He can do for you. That's right. God is no respecter of persons. What he has done for others, he can do for you. So look backward. Look backward in your response. Look at God's past faithfulness, his past deliverances, his past mercies, his past grace. And that gives us hope then that we can get through this trouble too. If God was faithful back there and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes, isn't he going to be faithful to us today? Yes, he is. Simple little argument, right, Iola? Amen. And the third response is Godward. The Godward response. Verse 22. We are to cast our burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. A burden, first of all, to excel us. Thy burden. Thy burden. Cast thy burden on the Lord. To me, that denotes that everybody's burden is different. Your burden that you carry is different than the burden that I carry. Cast your burden on the Lord. Whatever it is that you are carrying, that thing that makes you unique from everybody else, those pressures, that stress that you have to withstand, cast that burden, that thing upon the Lord, that trouble on the Lord. You know, as I thought about this, I really thought, you know, it's really a matter of perspective, how you look at that burden. Because when you look at the burden, it could really be a burden, it could really be a trouble or a trying time. Or the very same thing could be a gift. It's a perspective, it's how you look at it, because gifts come from God to only make us better, right? Troubles, trials come only to make us strong, as the chorus says. So instead of really looking at it as a burden, look at it as a gift. Change your perspective. God only gives good gifts to his children, right? He only gives good things to his children. So whatever it is that we're going through, whatever the trouble is, change your way of thinking. Don't look at it as a problem or as trouble. Look at it as a gift that's going to make you grow, something that's going to draw you closer to the Lord, something that will conform you more into the image of Jesus Christ. Look at it as a gift. God never gives anything to hurt you. God only gives things that will benefit you. George was talking to me before the service, and let me see if I get this straight. It's the same kettle of water that boils the egg and what?
Softens the carrot.
That's good. Do you understand what that's saying? God might put us in a place where there is trouble, but how you respond to that trouble makes all the difference in the world. Some will become tender like the carrot. Others will become hardened like the egg. It's a matter of perspective. It's how you look at things. If you look at it as a burden, chances are you're going to become hardened to it. But if you look at it as a gift from God, it'll make you soft. It'll make you tender. It'll make you grow. So a burden is to excel us. A burden to excel us. Secondly, a duty to engage us. There's something that we have to do here. There's an adjective. The adjective is cast. Cast. Cast thy, cast that particular trouble, cast that particular burden upon the Lord. Now, there are three possible responses to burdens or troubles, actually. You can try to escape from your trouble, like David did, but really he said he couldn't do that. He wanted to. He wished he could fly away, but he couldn't escape his trouble. The other thing that you can do is wilt under the weight of your burden. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop." A heavy heart, a burdened heart. See, if we don't respond to those troubles right and they become overwhelming burden, it stoops the heart. What does that mean? It drains you of all emotional energy. And if you are emotionally spent, you are physically spent. Believe me. I always have fun with people, you know, us pastors, we don't work physical labor. But I tell them, you ought to preach sometime because you are emotionally drained when you get done preaching sometimes. Right, Craig? You go home and you can't do anything. Ask my wife. I would get out my big chair and kick my feet up and I'm spent. Sometimes that happens. You know, you ever had a thing that you had to do where it took a lot of emotional energy or a lot of thinking even? Taxes, there you go. That's sure to drain you, isn't it? You're as tired as if you did a whole day's worth of physical labor. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. You can try to run from your troubles. You can try to carry those troubles. Eventually, you'll cave in under the pressure. Or you can do what David did. You can cast it. You can cast it back to where it came from. You see, David didn't ask to be king. God made him king. God came and anointed him one day and said, "You are going to be king," through the prophet Samuel. So David didn't ask for that, so David cast all the troubles of being king back to the Lord. You know how many times I've done that as a pastor? God, I never asked to be a pastor. You're the one that called me, so I'm giving you all these troubles right now. I'm giving them back to you. And you can do that in your life, in your situations. You can look at where you're at and say, some things, God, I never asked for these things. You gave them to me. You gave me this responsibility. And I believe that these are gifts, and I believe that there are blessings. But Lord, I can't handle it by myself, and so I give this trouble back to you. That is really the only right response. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So there's a burden to excel us, a duty to engage us, and third, there is a promise to encourage us. A promise to encourage us, he shall sustain thee. God will sustain you. After all, he takes care of the flowers. They don't toil and they don't spin, and yet Jesus said Solomon in all of his glory, was not arrayed like those flowers. How about the birds of the air? Jesus said that there's not a bird that falls to the earth without our Heavenly Father's knowledge of that fact. How much more valuable are you than flowers or birds? Aren't you worth much more than them? The obvious answer is yes, you are. You are worth more than the flowers. You are worth more than the birds of the air. You are worth more than the beasts of the field. And God takes care of all of that. O ye of little faith, he'll take care of your trouble too. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and he will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You know, the difficult thing is not bringing the burden to the Lord. The difficult thing is leaving it there.
Because we come and we might even kneel at this altar, or we might come and we might raise our hands and say, Lord, I give you all these cares. I cast all these burdens upon you. And before we leave, we take them back up and we carry them home with us again. So the difficulty is not casting the burden upon the Lord. The problem is leaving it there. I want to challenge you tonight to not only cast your burden upon the Lord, but to leave it with him, to place it at the feet of Jesus, and to leave free. Absolutely free. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? How do you respond to trouble? How do you respond? I hope you can think of these three points. The upward response, the backward response, and the Godward response. Make prayer a priority. Draw on God's faithfulness in the past. And cast your burden upon the Lord. I'm sure tonight that if all of us were honest, we're all carrying a burden of some sort or another. All of us. Your burden is different than my burden. But yet it's heavy, I know. And it's real. Some burdens tonight might be heavier than others. Some of you maybe at the point where you're ready to stoop and drop under the weight of that burden. But I want you to know that Jesus comes just in time. Take the load off. He'll take the load off. If you meet him, if you want to give it up, if you want to be free, he'll take it. He'll take it. His burden is light. He'll give you another burden, but his burden is light. You can carry that one. You can handle him. You can make it. So, I want you to think about whatever particular burdens you have in your life. Think about those. I'm not talking tonight about giving away responsibilities. I'm not talking about shirking your responsibilities. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just talking about the extra weight that comes with it that you don't need to carry. Can you give it to the Lord? Quietly meditating on him tonight and that burden, can you give it to the Lord? Can you cast it? Can you leave it with him and not take it back? Lord, I pray that people tonight would truly experience freedom as they cast their troubles on you tonight and they leave their troubles in this place. And as they go through the week, they can remember, yes, on Sunday night at Calvary Assembly of God, I left that trouble there. I left that burden there. What am I doing? I don't need to carry that with me this week. I left it with Jesus. I left it at the mercy seat. Help us to be able to do that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take your songbooks. I'd like to sing a couple of songs here tonight about casting your care, your burdens upon the Lord. First of all, page 152, all your anxiety. There might be things that you have not told anyone, but you've not taken it to the Lord either. It becomes anxiety, it becomes worry. Or you've taken it to the Lord, but then you've taken it back. It becomes anxiety. Bring it to the mercy seat. And leave it with Jesus. There's not a burden that any of us face tonight that he's not strong enough to carry. He's well equipped. Could we stand? Let's start with a chorus. I don't know the verses all that well, so I'd rather start with a chorus tonight. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the like to come and pray tonight, you may do so. These altars certainly are open, but I would recommend what verse 3 says, come then at once, delay no longer. You can come if you want to kneel in his presence or stand at the altar. You can also give your burden to the Lord from your seat there. It's up to you. But I just want you to know to be free. The altars are open. And of course, whoever comes up here, I'm sure somebody will pray with you. On the third verse. Struggles with Samuel, but when we found out he had Down syndrome, we both of us just had a good cry for days. Because we wondered how we were going to be able to carry on with all of our responsibilities.
raising a handicapped child. I know Debbie feels overwhelmed sometimes with homeschooling. And I thought about the ministry and how much care he will need. And I thought, we just both thought, how are we ever going to do this? Especially with all the other children we have. So I'm asking you tonight, would you pray for us?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.